before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
My administration will be focused on three very important words. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
Policeman must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And that's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And we have a lot of things we want to cover. So much happens over the weekend. But, you know, we have a lot of things to talk about that you're not hearing in the news. So, you know, and mainly we're going to talk about the Jack Smith setup today. So Jack Smith. Real evil dude, real scumbag, anti-American as could be, and has a history of this. Literally planting evidence. He's just a corrupt litigator, corrupt attorney, corrupt investigator, corrupt cop, and he was put into place as a fixer to take Trump down, as was Letitia James and Fani Willis and all these other people that have been paid to play, pay to play, pay to play. So there's this Politique Republic. It says top special counsel prosecutor met with White House prior to Mar-a-Lago raid, proving Trump was set up. Newly unsealed documents in Jack Smith's classified documents case against Trump reveal Smith's top prosecutor, Jay Bratt, met with a top Biden aide in September 2021 before any classified documents were discovered at Mar-a-Lago, furthering speculation that Biden's DOJ set up Trump. How do you like them apples? So that's pretty crummy. That's not cool. Julie Kelly writes, unredactions reveal early White House involvement in Trump documents case. Now, Trump declassified his documents that he had, number one. But number two, they already had possession of those documents before they sent them down to Mar-a-Lago and deemed them illegal. And Smith has admitted it. Jack Smith had to admit in court that he did it. That he's that guy. But they didn't even know about all this until they had the unredactions, thanks to Judge Cannon. And here, another story, George Soros' financial empire is built on foreign investments secured by drafting off the blob's maximalist war and intervention policies. Trump's detente with Eurasia threatened to crumble Soros' financial empire. That's why it matters. That's all the prosecutors are, that that all the prosecutors are Soros-funded. Putin and Soros locked in fight for control of gas transit company. For more than 10 years, both Vladimir Putin and George Soros have sought to acquire Ukraine's state-owned gas transit company. The latter succeeded, and the strategic company has come under his influence. Against this background, it comes as no surprise that the firm's legal successor is fully serving U.S. interests and is making no effort to mitigate the tensions of the Russia-Ukraine war. Shortly after being elected, Zelensky allowed for Soros' plan to be implemented in Ukraine. So that's in line with what we've been saying here all along. And, you know, again, we're not friends with Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin has its own interests, but they also are in conflict with a lot of the politicians on Capitol Hill. But there's a reason also why Soros is so heavily invested in, you know, in flipping America upside down and bringing into play all these different Soros DAs. There's been a lot of committee hearings lately on Capitol Hill, and we could have talked about those last week. I only have an hour, but we could have talked about that, about Krasner in Philadelphia and all the different problems. Some of the Democrat, I think it was Jerry Nadler, called it a clown show, and that even Democrats in Philadelphia that were testifying took offense to that. It's not a clown show when your loved ones are dying in the street, or that you can't afford food because the price of products are doubled on the counters, over the counters, because people have to build in the cost of doing business with the amount of crime that's increased over the last couple of years under the Biden regime. Never mind the fact that there's another report here where McDonald's is already turning their stores into complete kiosks and machines, so that you basically walk into a McDonald's and there are these machines, touch screens, where you just touch the screen, you order what you want. And it's akin to you're using a phone app. Has anyone ever, raise your hand if you, has anyone ever used a phone app to order your food? I have. I've actually used DoorDash. I've actually used Instacart. But I have had the McDonald's app. I've had the Starbucks app. I've had the Chick-fil-A app. I've had the Chipotle app, you know, and Subway app. And you can boom, 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 go down, pick up your order. Everything's automatic. You've just told everybody that your metadata has told the government that what you like to eat. At some point, you know, who cares? Because you don't have privacy anyway. That was gone post 9/11 with the Patriot Act. That's where it started, in earnest. But no, it's been going on for a long time. And every time we have an emergency, the government benefits. Every time we have a crisis, the government benefits. Every time we have a bad economy, the government benefits. And it's the government that's doing all this stuff. Their lack of diplomacy, their lack of economic prowess. Speaking of economic prowess, that's another one that's kind of comical. All right, so I have a couple of more things, and we're going to play this clip of Biden's economic advisor. It's actually a music teacher, but he's in the post of an economic advisor. Just like there's another... the Department of Labor never ran a business. She never had her own business. All she does is regurgitates union rules and plays to the unions like a puppet. She knows nothing about business. Like Pete Buttigieg knows anything about transportation. right? Like Dr. Fauci knew anything about science. I mean, they're all profiteers. How about our Department of Energy, Granholm? We've played a lot of clips related to Granholm last week. She's as corrupt as the day is long, bows to China, and favors the Biden crime family in the Department of Energy through trade deals and dark money deals coming out of Europe and China. Meanwhile, Xi Jinping is all over Europe right now, meeting with all the leaders, trying to advance his electric vehicle exports, something that Trump would crack down on, and trying to advance other exports because the China economy is moving along at the worst pace that it's moved along at in the longest of times. Why, you might ask? Because the world global economy is shrinking. It's crumbling. Never mind what the pundits on the financial experts' TVs will say, because they're inaccurate. They're talking about 3.7% inflation. It's 8% inflation when you think about your daily lives. Eight. Aggregately, it's probably more like 19 inflation when you add it up year over year over the course of 3 years. You're talking about a tune of like more like 3 times 8. That's 24. Because it goes up every year. So if it goes up 8% in Biden's first year, and then year over year it goes 8% more on Biden's second year, that's really 16. It just took him 2 years to do it, 8% per year. So he's at around 19% really, because the first year wasn't as bad as the second. The third is getting worse than the second. It gets worse every year under the Biden regime. That's what's happening. That's why Biden's losing in every single poll. Every poll. But still, I scratch my head. I'm left scratching my head. Why? How can they get 40%? How can he get 45% in these states where Trump might be 47% and Biden's 45% in a poll? And I'm like, what? That doesn't make any sense. Who are these 45% of morons? I mean, they have to be total and utter morons. You look at Biden, who can't even string sentences together. Oh my gosh, he got roasted by Donald Trump, who went to a Formula One event. By the way, congratulations to the Magic. Well, what a photo finish for the Kentucky Derby, right? That was amazing. I love this time of the year when you have these golf championships and the Kentucky Derby and all these great auto races. You know, it's what America is really all about. But I got to tell you, Trump roasted Biden, but Trump went down to the Miami Grand Prix in Miami, like Formula One auto race, and was greeted like a rock star, chanting USA, USA, everywhere Trump goes. Now, Trump's in court right now. You know, can't campaign, can't fundraise. Nevertheless, they had an unprecedented amount because Ronald McDaniel's no longer running the show and Lara Trump is. And so people are donating. They're back donating to Win Red and the RNC again. Why? Because there's trust. There's trust with the RNC and the Win Red. Remember, I was telling people never, ever donate to Win Red. Your money will be ill spent. It'll be buying luxury items and private jets. Trust me, it's a waste. Not under Larry Trump. And so this is great news because they brought in $76 million in the month of April. That's a, like, oh, I think it was Unprecedented or something to that tune. But it's, wow, that's really, really loud. Oh, my goodness. Sorry about that, folks. Caller, let's see. We're going to go ahead and take this caller real quick. Caller, you're on the air?
Yes, Scott, real quick. Listen, I went to Boston this weekend, attended a rally at the State Capitol House in Boston, Massachusetts. Now, it doesn't get any more communist than Boston, of course, as you know, but we had an incredible rally there that closetheborderrally.com. I hope people go there to sign up, just like WinRed. And
well, yeah, but isn't that associated with the General Flynn?
No, not the Close the Roar. That wasn't. This is Jeff Cooter.
Because, I got to tell you, Flynn's getting trashed right now by Donald Trump.
Oh yeah, he got eight subpoenas 4 days ago. Eight subpoenas.
No.
But after him again.
Yeah, but it's not just that. No. Trump is trashing Flynn. Did you hear me?
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that one, but
yeah. Well, Trump is trashing. You know why Trump is trashing Flynn? Because Flynn's been busted as an insider. Washington insider, and basically Flynn is done because
I've been hearing a lot of this.
No, he is done. He is an absolute, and I've been talking about this since January 1st, 2021. I put out back when Trump was still president. Flynn was an infiltrator, and so was Sidney Powell. And so is that whole group. And I can't believe that people still support this guy. And so, I'm probably going to do a show tomorrow. And it's going to be, I have it all lined up. I could have done it today. I have it all lined up because there's these new bits of information. Plus, Trump put out a letter, referencing Flynn as being not a good guy, and also the stuff that I put together years ago, it's all a fraud. And you know, Flynn's a lifelong Democrat, and most of the people that support Flynn, whether it's Patrick Byrne or a whole bunch of others, were all registered Democrats and lifelong Democrats. And he used Covington and Burling as his law firm when he got pinched. He was the first one to get fired out of the Trump campaign, Trump team. He put himself into a room alone with two corrupt FBI agents. He did that for a reason. I mean, the guy, and he used Covington and Burling. You know who Covington and Burling is? Eric Holder's law firm.
Yes.
Why in the world would he do that? Oh, come on. And his brother, Charlie,
has
been promoted by the Biden administration to head up our army in the Pacific. And in addition to that, he was hired, Flynn, Mike Flynn was hired twice by Obama. And then he took PPP loans out the yin yang, and he has a 75% of the money that he brings in. None of it goes to his cause. 25% of it he hasn't spent yet. And 75% of it went to his travel expenses to build him up and sell his books. He's disgusting.
I want to say something.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right about him. I want to tell you that. You're absolutely right. Because I've talked to this guy personally, and I got a sense. When you told him something about Trump, he like turned his head and he wouldn't listen to you. And that's the feeling I got. Something's not right here. Something's not right here. And his movie tour is nothing but a money-making operation for pockets.
That's it. So you got to be careful.
You're absolutely right about him.
Yeah, but you got to be careful about the events that you talk about, because you want to make sure that you do your due diligence and your research. Because one of the things that Lara Trump is cracking down on right now at the RNC and WinRed is they are cracking down seriously on infiltrators, because they know all about these infiltrators. I mean, Patrick Byrne was running Bitcoin or digital currency, paying off a bunch of people, working with all the wrong people. Ali Alexander, Lynn Wood, Sidney Powell, that whole group, the Kraken. I actually know the Kraken. She used to be on this network, and she's a total scumbag, registered Democrat, and has a track record a mile long. And I'm telling you that I know so much more than I'm actually willing to say, because I don't want to get sued, but I guarantee you I know what I'm talking about.
They can sue me. Tell them, give them my name. They can sue me.
Here's the giveaway moment. I'm not going to go any further with it, but I wanted to, I just wanted to say that. But thank you for calling in today.
The giveaway. Yeah, thank you.
All right. Take care. Yeah, I just have to say that because we're going to do. I've been asked a few times recently to do a show on that. And because people who know me or have listened in to this show know where I stand with these things. You know, you see a lot of these other show hosts, and they'll have Flynn and company on as guests and take such great pride in having them on. I never, ever want. They've asked me to come on the show. And people have asked, can you get these people on the show? And I'm like, no. Why would I want to do that? Anyway, that was a sidetrack, and that we got off path a little bit, but anyway, here we go. So Charlie Kirk writes this: on college campuses, beyond the chaos and femlib humanities majors with nose piercings, you're seeing the beginnings of a culture-wide generational reset. The young men have had enough. You're about to see millions of them peed off enough to reject the left's entire agenda. So you're celebrate the prodigal sons as they come home. This video was from my visit to Cal Poly. So this was Charlie Kirk who wrote this. And here it is. Let's see. I'm going to play something else here in line with this. So they're singing the nationally pride songs and things like that. So, you know, there was this fat black girl that was a protester in support of Hamas at Ole Miss. And then there was all these guys in these USA bib overhauls and things like that from the frat. They called them the frat boys or whatever. And they were chanting Lizzo, Lizzo, and waving their flags. And so, you know, I think that America has kind of had enough of worshiping, you know, obesity and worshiping trans and worshiping all these things that, you know, we really should strive to not be, right? I understand there's going to be some mentally ill people that are going to get involved with gender dysphoria or not know who they are or whatever. And that's, you know, I'd be the first one to step up and help them try to be a better, you know, try to improve and get better. You know, I can see when somebody needs help. But to reward it and to put them on the cover of a magazine and say that we all should aspire to be like that is another whole thing, you know, a whole nother thing. And so, you know, this obesity, whether we, like when Obama and Clinton and Biden went to Radio City Music Hall to generate $25 million, Lizzo was the featured attraction. She's disgusting. Her music's awful. She doesn't play an instrument. She doesn't write a song. And she's, you know, a fat slob. And the thing is that my heart goes out to people that struggle with weight and things like that. And all I want to do is maybe help them. But to reward it and to put it on the cover of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit or to declare a transvestite woman of the year it's just a step too far, don't you think? I mean, come on. Isn't that gaslighting? Isn't that some sort of manipulation of the mind, a psyop? of some sort? I mean, let's just use our common sense. So the beautiful thing that's developing along among universities today is that there is this message, this competing message, and it's morphing into not an Israel-Hamas conflict, but a Trump versus Biden conflict. And the way Biden's handling this and the way Trump is handling this. But it's getting to be, too, that these radical left-wing nut jobs with these piercings and hair colorings and you know, their pale skin and their lack of nutrition and their misguided information. I mean, you ask these people, what are you protesting for? They don't even know what they're protesting for. They're that dumb. And then when you find out that, you know, because we're doing research, we have TikTok. We have Twitter now. We have X. Elon Musk just put this out. Despite getting rid of all the bots, the numbers over at X are bigger than ever before, which means that the truth is getting out and that X is 10 times bigger than any media outlet whatsoever. So X is winning the day because truth will always find a way. Truth. And X is the platform of truth. As is truth, is the platform of truth, Trump's truth. And so, you know, it is an amazing development in the landscape. And I don't think that Zuckerberg has the chops for several reasons to get involved in this election cycle. One, Facebook is irrelevant. Nobody's using Facebook anymore. Nobody. It's becoming the MySpace. What MySpace became is what Facebook is becoming. That's first and foremost. So Zuckerberg has already lost a lot of money. That doesn't make him not a billionaire. He's probably still a billionaire. So that doesn't make him not powerful. But there's another reason why I don't think Zuckerberg is going to get involved this year. Because Zuckerberg, I think, is exhausted by his own stupidity. And in terms of his rhetoric, I think he also has this thing where he's kind of matured a little and he's grown up, a baby grown up a little bit. And Mark Zuckerberg is hanging out. He's a Dana White UFC wannabe. That's what he is. Remember that talk about Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg, you know, wanting to get into like a fisticuff or whatever? Well, you know, the idea is that you're seeing Mark Zuckerberg financing some of these fighters, getting involved in financing with UFC business deals. But he also is practicing the art of mixed martial arts. He's working out at the gym. He's showing up at events, and he loves it. It's sort of like, because he's been a nerd and a wimp his whole life, he's kind of like seeing this whole thing. Now, he's not gotten punched in the nose yet. Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the nose, is what Mike Tyson said. But I just think that, you know, if he were to get involved with rigging more elections like he did in 2020, he would alienate the people that he likes the most. And that's the people at the UFC and people involved with Dana White. And right now, that's where he is in his life cycle. And I think he doesn't want to be involved with a government that's misled him over the Hunter Biden laptop story, over COVID. You know, the jig is up. Everybody knows Fauci and Daszak were criminals and that they killed millions of people with their experiments and leaks and lies and their CIA cover and their Department of Defense cover, and they thought they were untouchable. Well, the truth, once again, finally got through, probably in large part thanks to platforms like X. If you're listening to this show and you're not on X and you're not following at Scott Adams Show on X, you're missing a lot. Trust me. More than 50% of what I post, what I have to say is on X that's not on this show, but it's on my X account. And there's only about four topics I can cover in one day, but I cover about 10 topics in one day on X. But what I like about the development of these universities and what is happening there is that it's starting to morph into an election thing. And you're starting to see the crackdown on this because it's not working for the left. You know, to support Hamas terrorists and to say that and to support death to Israel. I mean, Mark Zucker, Zuckerberg is Jewish, right? And then Zucker, or the former head of CNN, was Jewish. All the top brass over at NBC and CBS and ABC are Jewish. All the people at New York Times are Jewish. I mean, there's a lot of Jewish people that are in leadership in media, whether it's the music industry or elsewhere. And to say death to Israel is almost an insult, right? So they're between a rock and a hard place in so many different ways. But it's also just a stupid position. Now, Trump said it best. He said, this is a very difficult decision. Even Netanyahu made mistakes. But, you know, the idea is that this all should have been avoided in the first place. It's like, you know, there's not a great solution when your house is on fire. You're either going to put it out or let it burn to the ground. Either way, it's a total loss, right? If half the house is burned down or the whole house is burned down. So it's a no-win situation. But you know what you could have done? You could have actually prepared and made it so your house never got caught on fire in the first place. You could have sprayed it down with something. You could have put some barriers up, whatever, if there was a forest fire that was coming near your house. Or, you know, you could have prepared. But, and Trump always came prepared. He always came ready. And that's why we got into zero conflicts, because he nipped it in the bud before things escalated, like he did with North Korea, like he did with China, and like he did with the Middle East and ISIS. But I think that this college thing is starting to become another boondoggle, another loss for the radical left. You got Jake Tapper talking about the financing of these groups. Over 40% of the protesters aren't even college students, faculty, or professors. It's kind of crazy when you think about it. So it's blowing up in their faces, and people are getting sick and tired of the stupidity and nonsense of the left. It's hard to sell, you know, that kind of loser stuff. Meanwhile, you still have organizations like Google who, I mean, Google is losing their edge. I no longer use Google. I used to use Google. I mean, I use Google for some stuff. But if I want to find like the truth on something or find it, I'm looking for something that's of a conservative nature, I have to go to Bing or DuckDuckGo or some other search engine to try to find the article I'm looking for, because Google is completely off the rails, radical left. And the Trump team put out an ad, and it goes like this.
Biden campaign.
Yeah. I voted for Biden last time.
That's fantastic.
Is it? Everything costs more. Food, gas, rent.
Okay, but Biden's helping pay rent for newcomers to America from around the world.
You mean illegal immigrants? I'm struggling to pay my bills, but Biden's paying rent for illegals? They get handouts and I'm paying for it.
But Biden can still count on your vote, right?
Things were better before Biden. I'm voting for Trump.
Make America Great Again, Inc. is responsible for the...
Okay, so there it is. This ad got banned from Google. It got banned from Google. And Google Ads has banned this ad from running. Why is that? All it talked about was the truth right? But you can't run that ad. So Google. So guess what? YouTube, look out. YouTube is going to be replaced soon, probably, with XTV. Yes, Elon Musk is coming out with XTV. I don't know when, but it's coming. All right. So I got this one clip I have to play for you. It's so funny. And Biden economist. And I thought I would have found it by now, actually. But it's in line. Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna play that second. I'm going to play this clip first. This is the guy. He's the head of El Salvador. He's the leader, and he makes a lot of sense. He talks about how the Fed can just print their money. Let's take a listen.
So who's financing the government? Government is financed by treasury bonds. Paper. And who buys the treasury bonds? Mostly the Fed. And how does the Fed buy them? By printing money. But what backing does the Fed have for that money being printed? The treasury bonds themselves. So basically, you finance the government by printing money out of thin air. Someone could ask, well, so if the government can print the limited amounts of money out of thin air, why did they collect taxes? I mean, in theory, it would make sense, right? If they can print unlimited amounts of money, why would they need taxes for? The answer is simple, but it's very shocking. The real problem is that you pay high taxes only to uphold the illusion that you are funding the government, which you are not. It's shocking, but it's true. The government is funded by money printing, paper backed with paper, a bubble that will inevitably burst. The situation is even worse than it seems. Because if most Americans and the rest of the world were to become aware of this farce, confidence in your currency would be lost, the dollar would fall, and the Western civilization with it.
Wow, that was amazing. So that guy is the new leader of El Salvador. He cut crime down tremendously. But check this out. This is Jared Bernstein, chair of the Council of Economic Advisors for Joe Biden. He advises Biden on economic policy. Let's take a listen to this, Jared Bernstein.
The U.S. government can't go bankrupt because we can print our own money.
It obviously begs the question, why exactly are we borrowing in a currency that we print ourselves? I'm waiting for someone to stand up and say, why do we borrow our own currency in the first place?
Like you said, they print the dollar. So why does the government even borrow?
Well, some of this stuff gets some of the language and concepts are just confusing. I mean, the government definitely prints money, and it definitely lends that money, which is why. The government definitely prints money, and then it lends that money by selling bonds. Is that what they do? They sell bonds. Yeah, they sell bonds, right? Since they sell bonds, and people buy the bonds and lend them the money. Yeah. So a lot of times, at least to my ear with MMT, the language and the concepts can be kind of unnecessarily confusing, but there is no question that the government prints money, and then it uses that money to I don't get it. I don't know what they're talking about. Like, because
that's Biden's economic advisor, folks.
Jared, the government clearly prints money. It does it all the time, and it clearly borrows. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having this debt and deficit conversation. So I don't think there's anything confusing there.
I mean, if that wasn't true, I mean, I would have thought that's a Saturday Night Live sketch. That is actual true. It's really unbelievable when you think about it. It gets worse, though. Here's the labor secretary who's never, ever owned a business.
Do you believe in capitalism? Yes, wonderful. Have you ever owned a business? I've said this before, and I'm sure I'm going to get cut off saying it now, but
good.
I am the daughter.
That would be a yes or a no.
Small business Secretary owners. Sue.
So that's great. I'm a daughter when too. I was growing up. So
okay, this should be really easy for you.
Let's try this again. Listen carefully. If you need to write a note down, that's fine. It is kind of comical when you're supposed to be the acting secretary and you can't answer a question. So I'm with you on the comedy.
On labor.
Unfortunately, it's not that comical because it's real life. So let's try it again. Have you, not the daughter, not the mother, not the sister, not the aunt, have you ever owned a business?
Congresswoman, you asked me why the
have
rule is
you,
important.
Okay. Let's try this again. So you're making a ton of money. You're making legislation for business owners. You're supposed to be in charge as the acting person, yet you can't answer a simple question. Amazing to me. Maybe we should just pay you more money and that would help you answer the question. I'm going to go back to the question again. Have you ever owned a business? Not a trick question.
Congresswoman, there are working people in this country
yes.
who do not
I mean,
choose
this
to be
is the very reason why you can't get confirmed is because you can't answer a question, right? I'll even accept an I don't know. Have you ever owned a business? And yes, I'm Congresswoman. So, have you ever owned a business?
Working people in this country are entitled to basic protections under the federal law. It is our job.
So
as
the Department
of Labor.
Yes, you have owned a business, or no? That's not. I mean, you are brilliant at answering a question that I didn't ask, and this is the very reason why you can't get confirmed in the Senate, because nobody trusts you. Because you can't answer a simple question. If you're supposed to be in charge, I would think it's not too much to ask to be able to answer a question. And with that, my disappointment continues to grow and your smugness continues to be very unacceptable. But you continue being acting secretary, making policies of which you know nothing about. And with that, I yield back.
Yeah, that was Julie Hsu. She's Chinese or something like that, commie. And that's all that we have in our executive branch. That or trannies or, you know, Jean-Pierre, whatever she is. It's absolutely crazy. And we have leaders around the world that are just lying to us. One of the things that's happening is Chris Cuomo's making some new noise because he's now vaccine injured, right? Vaccine injured. And yet we have people that have been on record, you know, like he was chastising people for not getting the vaccine and pushing the vaccine passport. Let's take a listen.
But the problem is, how are they going to know who's vaccinated? You just said they showed the card. That's not the answer. The answer is a vaccine passport. Part of the reason that you're seeing what you're seeing in Florida is because of vaccine hesitancy. And an aspect of vaccine hesitancy is politics, especially in your state. Don't Fauci Florida. We all know that was about. Do you feel responsible for spreading a message where I'm not going to take it because I don't care what Biden wants? Byron Donald's not going to take it because he doesn't care what Biden wants. You think that's a good message for people to hear?
Well, the first thing is my message was never about Joe Biden. The message is about me and my own personal health.
I'm not getting vaccinated because I don't want to.
Hold on, Chris.
I want to read your words.
I
want to read your words.
Don't cut me off.
Byron, I know you don't get to cut me off. It's my show. But just, not requiring their customers to wear masks anymore. The unvaccinated are still being encouraged to, but proof won't be required. See, it's easy to see who is wearing a mask, right? Because either you got it or you don't. But if you don't have one on, how would you ever know if the person is vaccinated? I guess they could tell you. Would you believe them? So will all the unvaccinated just ditch their masks now? Because no one's going to be able to tell the difference. Now, where I live.
So he's pushing the vaccine passport and pushing the vaccines because the pharmaceutical companies buy ads from CNN when he was working there, right? So, you know, how do you like that, right? Conflict of interest, right? But here, check this out. So this was...
But I've really had a gutful of MPs who think it's...
Okay, so this is an Australian doctor who says, don't question the COVID vaccine. Same doctor in 2022 suffers major COVID vaccine side effects.
Their place to give their opinions about unproven treatments for COVID-19 when that goes against the carefully considered science on the subject. Craig Kelly has form on both these counts.
Former top doctor is calling for more research into COVID jabs after experiencing a vaccine injury.
Dr. Phelps, good morning. You and your wife both suffered vaccine injuries. Can you take us through?
And in my case, I developed a reaction where my blood pressure, my pulse rate and my temperature was going up and down all over the place and with some quite distressing symptoms and persisting for quite some time. And I was diagnosed with a vaccine-related dysautonomia.
But I've really had a gutful of MPs.
So, yep, there it is, right? Same person, but think she's going to apologize? No. Check this out. New York's employee questioning Mayor Adams why he mentioned that it was un-American not allowing migrants to work when there are thousands of New York employees who was terminated over a vaccine. Let's take a listen.
5 minutes ago, you mentioned that it was un-American not allowing the migrants to work.
Yes.
There are thousands of New York City employees who were terminated over a vaccine. My question to you is, why are you still fighting us in court? It's not about the vaccine. That's over and done with, right? But why is New York City still fighting the thousands and thousands of us that are still out of work? Good evening, Mayor.
Right? I mean, absolutely true, right? That's crazy. Why are they still suing them? All right, so, all right, we wanted to get to a couple of other things. Here's one. California tourism just hit an all-time high, says Gavin Newsom.
Record-breaking tourism numbers in the state of California. Over $150 billion of tourism spend, unprecedented in our state's history. If you haven't had the chance to see the magnificence, the beauty of our great state, it's time to visit California.
So DK over at Twitter responds to that and says, hate to break it to you, Gavin, but all those illegal aliens sneaking into California right now aren't tourists. He's using those numbers to inflate. Meanwhile, the fact that there's now a line for this in our airports is insane beyond words. There's a sign in airports now that says non-U.S. citizens without passports only enter here. And they basically get the TSA pre-check line, you know, the fast lane. So it's happening around the world. Huge crowds of Irish people are marching against the influx of asylum seekers in Wicklow, Ireland. The same globalist socialists advancing depopulation with their wars, vaccines, climate initiatives and food systems aim to profit from illegal immigrants they intend to use as slaves for cheap labor, sex, and election fraud. The power they gain will be regulated by DEI and ESG. I mean, that is their plan, right? That's what we're up against here. All right. So Trump roasts Joe Biden. All right. So I want to talk about this one, too. He says the primary reason for all these terrible protests is crooked Joe Biden. He is unable to talk, unable to reason, unable to put two simple sentences together, unable to even climb three steps to a helicopter or the main stairs on Air Force One. He is also and always has been a very dishonest man. So he just goes on with this complete and total rant, which is appropriate considering the lawfare that's been used against Donald Trump. We got John from Chicagoland. John, you're on the air.
Hi, Scott. How are you this morning?
Pretty good.
So a couple of things. With regard to the Ireland situation, that's been brewing for a while, and they really are to the globalist approach. And they had this half-Irish, half-Indian gay guy as their prime minister for a number of years. And he really made it worse. Leo Varadkar. That scumbag really did this. But I don't think it's so much for the labor or this. A lot of these people are worthless. They can't work that hard. They're welfare dependents. I think what's going on there and around Europe and in North America is when you bring in all these people from various backgrounds, they don't have as much loyalty to that individual country as the natives do. And so it breaks the bonds of kinship among what were the folk of, say, German or Polish or French or whoever you can stuff them into. And it, to the extent that you can break that sense of being Irish or being English, what have you, you can therefore make it easier to build transnational institutions and create that globalist one world order type, whether it's called one world order, whether it's called one nation, it's that in effect. That's what they're trying to do, I believe. And that's why they're shuffling people around the world like that. And they built up a real momentum on that. That's where I see that going.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of things. I think that there is a shortage of labor workers because every country, started in Europe, it's happening in America with depopulation mechanisms. I think that the vaccine negatively impacted reproduction in some cases, in a lot of cases. But I think it's also used for election fraud because the dependent class usually votes for social programs. So you got that going. And then you also have the expense of sending food and water down to Africa and in the middle of the desert in the Middle East. And they could avoid all that if they were to just, like Sam Kennison said, move away from where the sand is. Sand, you're never going to grow food and water in a desert, right? So migrate them to a developed nation and take care of them. And then use them for a power block in terms of elections. To me,
That may be some of their. Using them as a power block.
It's just a part. There's a lot to this, but I think slave labor is just yet another. There's a lot of reasons why this works for the super elite.
I don't see them as productive. So
there's land rights. There's land rights to where they're moving from. Generally speaking, it may not be great land to grow food and water. But it might be great land to mine for copper, lithium, and nickel.
Yeah, there's people that are still there. It'd be, if anything, harder. When your population declines.
They're working those mine pits, aren't they?
Yeah, when the population declines, though, you don't need as much service labor. I think that's a red herring. Americans used to do those jobs. I think it's really to create the globalist majority. And yes, as a voting bloc, temporarily, while you can control them. But, in the end, spending and spending and spending. You mentioned that earlier.
Yeah.
And actually, if you look at it, there's compound interest, there's compound inflation. I think that's the point you're getting to earlier. 10% first year. The next year, if you do 10%, it's 10% of 110.
Exactly.
21%.
Exactly.
And the third year, it goes to 11% cumulative. And they'll just print the money. Well, that goes to Bernstein's comment. Just real quick on that. I think I saw that over the weekend. I thought, this is unbelievable. I've heard that guy's on Kudlow's show and whatnot. He's an economist. I mean, how could he say something? How could he sound that? Thing that he may have been asked about MMT and he may be skeptical of MMT, and that's my I'm hoping that's what he's referring
We're out
saying,
of the heart.
You know, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So
hey, thanks for calling in. We're out
thanks.
Of time.
All right.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
All right, so we're out of time. This is the Scott Adams Show. Be sure to check out MAGAPAC.org. Make a donation if you'd like to keep the Scott Adams Show commercial free. Use Red State as your promo code over at MyPillow.com. We'll see you next time on the radio. Bye-bye, everybody.